Well, good morning and welcome to Palm Sunday. It is the day of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and riding on a donkey. We're going to read that in our gospel reading today. But first, we're going to read our Old Testament and New Testament today from Isaiah and from Philippians. We're going to read those two, and then we'll read our gospel reading, which is, again, the procession of Jesus into Jerusalem. And so we're just going to go ahead and get started with our Old Testament reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 50. And we're going to start at verse 4. So it's Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. And it goes through verse 9a, so the first part of verse 9. So if you want to read along, you can do that. You can open up your Bibles there at home and read along. But we're going to hear from Isaiah the prophet, beginning in chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, and Paul writes, beginning with the fifth verse of chapter 2. So Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, going through verse 11. That's our reading. Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our gospel reading is from John chapter 12, and we'll begin at verse 12. So John 12, verse 12, and we'll read through verse 19. That's the gospel procession. That's the Palm Sunday procession. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to Christ. This is our Palm Sunday. Very strange for Palm Sunday being here again in an empty church with nobody else here except my cameraman. And it's very quiet. We do have palms, and I hope some of you have your palms at home. And so at some point, you know, we wave those palms and greet Jesus as the crowd did along the roadside. What's interesting today about our Palm Sunday reading is that it's in the Gospel of John, and yet there's no red letters. Jesus doesn't say a word in our gospel reading today. He is silently sitting, at least from what we can see here in John chapter 12, silently sitting on the donkey as he rides into Jerusalem. No words from Jesus. He's just come from raising Lazarus from the dead and working with the people that had kind of gathered with him, and all sorts of other things have happened. But Jesus doesn't have any words to say. He's silent. He lets the crowd have their day. He lets the Pharisees have their day. And he knows that no matter what he says, they're not going to understand what he has to say. They're not going to get it. It does say here that even the disciples didn't understand what was going on and why he was doing what he was doing. So we have Jesus here riding on the donkey as the crowds are going crazy. The disciples are just going along with the crowd. And this is, as it says, the crowd that had followed him from Bethany, where he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And the Pharisees are looking on, wondering what is going on, and seeing that Jesus has this great crowd following them. And they've already plotted to kill Jesus. They've already plotted even to kill Lazarus, who Jesus had raised from the dead. So the plot thickens here as Jesus rides into Jerusalem. So the people took palm branches and they shouted, "Hosanna," which as your study Bible will tell you, or as most hymns will tell you, means "God save us," or "save us." It's more of a prayer than it is a Hosanna, like we shout hallelujah, although I'm not supposed to say that in Lent. Hosanna is a prayer that God would save his people. And they said, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Other accounts of the Gospels have them shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the Son of David." So they've connected Jesus with the coming King. And the reason they're shouting Hosanna and the reason they're waving palm branches is they think this is the time as Jesus enters Jerusalem. This is the time that the new king is going to take the throne and reestablish Israel and Jerusalem as the capital city, as the city on the hill, as the beacon of all righteousness when Jesus takes the throne. This isn't the first time that they've waved palm branches. Last year in the sermon, I think I talked about how they waved the palm branches in victory when the Maccabean Revolution took place again in Jerusalem. So this is a tradition of waving palm branches in signs of victory. So they're expecting a win today as Jesus comes into town. And I think, and this is just me being, you know, thoughtful, I think Jesus probably doesn't say anything because he knows whatever he says, they're going to misinterpret. They're not going to understand what he is there to do. They expect a king on the throne, and they expect this righteous rule and reign of Jesus as king. And he has come to take the throne, but it's a much different throne. As we've said before, and probably will say a number of times throughout our lives, the throne that Jesus takes is shaped like a cross. It's not the comfy throne of the king in the palace. It is a cross that Jesus takes as his throne, and the crown of thorns is the crown he wears. So Jesus comes as Messiah and king of a very different type. So what does that have to do with us today as we celebrate Palm Sunday? In our seclusion and isolation and distance from each other in this strange time, what does this triumphal entry in Jerusalem mean for us today? I think having heard the rest of the story, as most of us have, and knowing with sort of hindsight 20/20 vision, knowing what Jesus is actually there to do, we can sometimes misunderstand the people. We can sometimes even misunderstand really why Jesus is there. So why is Jesus entering Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, with waving palm branches, when he knows that that type of greeting is wrong, that type of greeting is misguided, they're misunderstanding? For Jesus, the triumph is not to take the throne. For Jesus, the triumph isn't to set the people free from oppression and Roman rule and the laws that they had put into place. For Jesus, the victory isn't about setting the people free from the Pharisees. He is there to set the people free from what he's there to do, to set the people free from the death that he's going to die. He's there to finish what he started when he began his ministry proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." All of those things. He's there to finish the words that he spoke to all of the people as he's healed them. "Your faith has made you well. Your sins are forgiven." He's there to finish all of that. Not just for them, but for us. So he goes to the cross knowing for sure that the death he's going to die is one of victory over death. So again, the question, what does that mean for us today? Well, we can be confident and sure of our faith in Christ in these uncertain times, when there's a lot of questions about what's going on and what the future holds, both for ourselves as individuals and for the church in general. There's a lot of people wondering, what in the world is the church going to do after all of this is done, or when it ever is done. But I don't think that's something, I say this hesitantly, I don't think that's something we have to worry about. We don't have to be overly concerned or anxious. And it's easier said than done, of course. But knowing what Jesus did as he entered Jerusalem, as he entered to finish everything that he had started, we know that he went there to finish even the things that have been going on around us all the time. He went there to complete the forgiveness of sins for you and for me. He went there to complete the salvation, the eternal salvation, not the one day, when we can get back outside again salvation. This is eternal salvation. This is salvation for even those who have died. This is salvation for those who, even those who worry and are concerned. That's what Jesus has come to do on this Palm Sunday. He's come to finish those things. He's come to go to the cross, to finish everything that he has started. And he's doing that for you and for me. So at the end of this week, on Friday, when we celebrate, when we recognize, when we remember Good Friday and the death on the cross, we remember here on Palm Sunday the pathway that Jesus took to finish it all. So as we're separate, as we're at home, as we're gathered with those around us, or whether we're by ourselves, we grab onto our palm branches. We wave them in victory, not in the sense that Jesus is somehow going to miraculously come and stop all of this. Love it if he would. That would be great. And we pray that that may happen. But we wave them in victory over everything that would hold us, everything that would keep us in fear, everything that would strangle our hosannas and our alleluias. Again, alleluias. Because we know what Jesus has come to do. And we know what he's promised to do for us every single day through his Holy Spirit. This comes later in Ascension when he goes and he tells the people, I'm going to be there with you every day. Till the end of days, I will be there. Lo, I will be with you always to the end of the age. At the end of Matthew, he says these words. So he rides into Jerusalem to a cheering crowd who's got it all wrong, to a cross that is his throne, to the crown of thorns that is his crown, all to save humanity, even those who get it wrong, and even us who live 2,000 years later. That's the Palm Sunday message of victory. And we carry that. Not just today on Palm Sunday, but every day. That's our prayer. That's our praise. That's our hope. That's our confidence. The wonderful victory of Christ. So I look forward to this Holy Week. We'll see what it has in store. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, those days will happen regardless of whether or not we're here gathered in church. Those days are the progression. That's how it goes. So probably on Thursday, we'll have another message. So you can look forward to that if that's something you look forward to. And then Good Friday, we'll figure something out. And then Easter Sunday, who knows? We'll see what the Lord has in store. We'll celebrate Easter in our homes. We'll celebrate Easter on our neighborhood blocks. We'll celebrate Easter shouting from our windows, whatever the case may be. We'll do it. And we'll do it because of Jesus and because of his gifts to us. In his name, amen.